Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's get to it. The 8 at 8. 8 stories to get your day going on Monday. These are stories from the weekend. Here we go.
One.
All right, the big story this morning, Tank Dell, Texans' second-year wide receiver, was one of 10 victims at a mass shooting in Sanford, Florida. Before you get to, Tank's okay. He suffered a minor wound. He's actually back, should be back in Houston. He was traveling here yesterday, so unless he ran into travel issues, he is back in Houston. The Texans issued a statement yesterday, and you should know that the incident took place at a private event in Florida shortly after midnight on Saturday night. And all 10 of the victims were treated, and no casualties, thank God. 16-year-old shooter who was apprehended and is being charged with, obviously, multiple things. Texans said this.
Being a dumbass,
yeah,
mostly.
Yep. Texans said, we've been made aware that Tank Dell was a victim of a shooting in Sanford, Florida last night. He sustained a minor wound but has been released from the hospital. He's in good spirits. We're in contact with him and his family, and we'll provide more updates when appropriate. But we ask that you please respect his privacy at this time. Our thoughts and prayers or with everyone involved in the incident. So this is something, obviously, Seth, that could have gone a whole lot worse on Saturday night involving Tank Dell.
Right. And, you know, it's the first and foremost, apparently all of the injuries for all 10 people who were shot suffered minor injuries, so nothing life-threatening. So I don't feel too guilty about, from a football side of things, kind of wondering, okay, minor injury after you get shot means, okay, it's not life-threatening, but from a football perspective, it could be a major injury, so we just don't know.
Yeah, you point. And I could go back to work after that injury. You know, we don't use our legs.
So it's a whole different deal, so we don't have a lot of details on the matter right now.
Yep, so we await details on that, and we'll certainly keep you posted here on Sports Radio 610 as those details continue to come out.
Two.
There was a draft this weekend. The Texans drafted 9 players. It was actually, oddly enough, the busiest part was the last hour and a half of the draft, where the Texans wound up taking 5 of the 9 players they took. They were draft heavy in the 6th and 7th round.
Yeah.
The headliners in this class are the day 2 guys and the first pick of day 3. The day 2 picks, of course, were Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback out of Georgia, Blake Fisher, the tackle out of Notre Dame, and then in the 3rd round, the Texans moved up to get Kalen Bullock, the safety out of USC, in the 3rd round. In the 4th round, they moved up a few spots to get C.J. Stroud's former teammate, tight end Cade Stover, out of Ohio State. D'Amico Ryans is very excited to coach this group.
We're very excited about all the guys that we brought in. Feel like all these guys are quality players that add to the depth, add to the competition of our team. And so we're excited about the guys. We like all the guys that we were able to pick, and we want to work with these guys. So, and we're fired up about it.
There are a lot of hugs. A lot of hugs kept popping up on social media between Nick and D'Amico during the draft.
They were really happy after a lot of the picks. You know, the Blake Fisher one was the one that probably got the most scrutiny from fans, and I get that. I understand it. But they were very happy, or at least they seemed to, if we're going to read body language. So I think that, for me, the adding to the defensive backfield is, you know, obviously that's 2 of your top 3 picks. Those are the ones I really, really hope work out. Blake Fisher, I think, is, I don't want to call a developmental guy, but just given his body type and I think a need to learn how to play with better pad level at times and to just develop some more strength is probably not going to be competing with Tytus Howard right off the bat. But I can definitely see the upside there. For a tall guy, he moves real well in space. So when you're thinking about zone blocking schemes, working up to linebackers and safeties, I can see where they really see something in him. And there's a lot to work with there. But I think the other two guys are probably going to provide, if it works out, if they're good players, they can provide a more immediate benefit.
Yeah, yeah. I think long term, like deep down, D'Amico and Nick envision their secondary for the next several years, eventually being Stingley on one side, Lassiter on the other, and then Jalen Petrie. And Jalen Petrie needs to play better, but I'm talking about what they're seeing in their head. Jalen Petrie and Bullock as the two safeties.
So one of the write-ups on ESPN from some guy I'd never heard of said that now Jimmy Ward can move back to his preferred position, slot corner.
He hated slot corner.
The reason he hated Kyle Shanahan at the end was because Kyle made him play slot corner.
That's right.
I don't think that's the reason he wanted to come here was because D'Amico told him, yeah, you'll be playing safety. People just make stuff up, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
Three.
All right, the Astros. Good weekend for the Stros. Maybe having the draft to distract all of us was a good thing. Yeah.
Just to be clear, he didn't hate Kyle Shanahan, but he had a little bit of a rift with Kyle Shanahan over that scenario.
Right. The Astros, I think in life, things are going bad at work. Life's getting me down. You know what? I could use a trip to Mexico. And that was just what the doctor ordered, Seth, for the Astros. Now, oftentimes, it's Cabo or Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, maybe, something like that. In this case, it was two baseball games in Mexico City. Did the trick. 12-4 on Saturday, 8-2 on Sunday. They destroy the horrific Colorado Rockies. Get a solid outing from Framber Valdez. Kyle Tucker really seems to like hitting in Mexico. Took a few over the fence in the stadium there, and it was a good weekend for the Stros.
No joke. I think that Framber, sometimes you're even happier when a pitcher struggles a little bit and then catches himself. That's how I am with Framber, always and forever, because you're always going to wonder, like, all right, where is he mentally and how is he handling everything? So for him to struggle a little bit with his command and then come back and look very, very good for Amber. That was very encouraging to see.
Yeah.
I think Justin Verlander, when interviewed, looked happy as hell to not have to pitch in that environment.
Yes.
And
I was nervous. Okay, it's funny. I was nervous about them having that be Framber's first start back. At the elevation. He's been gone with the elbow. You go there and he gets, what if he gets shelled? And it's not really because it's him. It's just because he's, now of all the pitchers that would be inclined to get shit. He's not a fly ball pitcher, so that's probably something that factored in. Like he's
that helps.
If it were Javier might have given up 10 runs if he was pitching in Mexico City.
I wonder though too if it's almost like sometimes when I was a rookie, I had to play against Germani Dawson, who's an all-pro center.
Yeah, he's good.
Just one of the best centers of all time, and absurdly athletic. And my defensive line coach told me basically, like, listen, man, just, you're going to get beat really bad a few times. So just go out there and just go for it. Like, and that's the same advice he gives to everybody when you play Germani Dawson, because he was so quick that you're going to get reach blocked a few times and you just couldn't worry about it. You couldn't let that affect your game.
Happens.
I feel like you could give that same advice to a pitcher in Mexico City. Like, listen, man, they're going to hit a few home runs on you most likely. Don't worry about it. You just got to go out and nobody's going to blame you for having home runs hit against you at 8,000 feet of elevation.
Not at all. And I think the other thing is that Framber only pitched 5 innings, but he was on a pitch count. Like he only threw 70 pitches. Like he was well on his way. He's Mr. He was at least a year ago or a year and a half ago, Mr. Quality Start. Like I think that's to me, like he was on his way to having a typical Framber start. He had to get taken out after 5, or they wanted to just because they're bringing him back gradually.
So his changeup was working well too, which all these guys are adding. Like just about all the pitchers have added a changeup to their arsenal this year, or they're throwing more changeups. Which, in my own theory, is that if the fewer fastballs, the better in this day of the ever-present UCL injury. But so far, it hasn't prevented the pitchers from getting injured. No. They haven't torn a UCL, knock on wood. But over time, fewer fastballs might mean that they get injured less. It's just been a bad year to roll it out.
It's a long play. Yep.
Four.
Number four, the Astros are bringing up Joey Loperfido from Sugar Land. He hit his 13th home run of the season. It's April 28th. He hit his 13th home run in the minors yesterday and the Astros decide to bring him up. I've not seen what the corresponding move is yet for Loperfido. If it's, I've seen
Cabbage or something.
Cabbage, I think, was the extra guy they brought up because they were allowed to carry an extra guy for the Mexico series.
Oh, that's why. Okay, that's good. I was looking for that and I couldn't because I was otherwise. I was like, where? Because I was looking for the corresponding move for Cabbage. Yeah. I thought I was just being stupid.
Nope. They're allowed to bring an extra guy for Mexico. So the speculation is it could be Greg Kessinger. Maybe this is when we get a DFA of Jonathan Singleton. I don't think anything's happening with Jose Abreu. I don't think there's a corresponding move where Abreu is gone. So we're waiting on that. But I'm excited to see Loperfido and see if what he's doing at the minor leagues, good and bad, translates at the big league level. Because while he has hit 13 home runs, he strikes out a lot. So
he's really good at striking out.
He's excellent striking out, yes.
Yeah, so that's the this is where I think old school baseball dudes worried about hurting a guy's development. I am in agreement with those guys right now. So if he ends up coming up and is a mental wreck after striking out 29 times in 32 at bats, I blame Jose Abreu for destroying his career.
Yeah,
that'll be the end of it.
If they want to give him a big chunk of Jake Meyer's at bats, cool. I'm cool with that. Let's see what you got with the kid. You know.
So by the way, and then worth mentioning too. I was glad to hear Pena getting some love on the broadcast there on ESPN. Just to. As a reminder, because sometimes we get caught up in our own complaints that he's looking like a different dude this year.
Yeah, he does. He hit a home run yesterday, so that was good to see.
Five.
Ezekiel Elliott looks to be back with the Dallas Cowboys. Sources: Ezekiel Elliott, Cowboys expected to agree to deal. He's expected to agree to a 1-year deal today, reuniting him with the franchise that took him with the 4th overall pick in the 2016 draft. Of course, Zeke was with the New England Patriots last year. Did some good things, but that was a really bad Patriots team. He wasn't great. He's under 4 yards a carry. He's not even remotely close to what he was when they signed him to that big deal back a few years ago. I don't know, man. Like, if I were a Cowboy fan, I know we have Cowboy fans that listen to the show. This almost feels like salt in the wound right here. You know, like, this feels like, okay, the Cowboys haven't done anything. Like, I saw a graphic yesterday, Seth, that listed all the Cowboys who've left, and it's like, prominent ones, like 10 of them have left, and then their acquisitions, and it's like Eric Kendricks, one other guy, and now it's going to be Ezekiel Elliott is like their next big signing. Yeah,
got a lot of credit for like last year in New England just not being disgruntled, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I would hear
about people be like, you know, Elliott's actually doing all right, and then you look at it and like, oh yeah, he ran for 3.1 yards per carry.
Yeah.
All right, cool. He ran for pie. We got to listen to some of the Jerry Jones later this week, too. The quote of the weekend for him was when asked about drafting 3 offensive linemen in what they believe is a strong offensive line draft class. He said, "Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is."
That's pretty good.
It is a good one. Yeah, it is. It doesn't quite work, except it works perfectly.
Yes.
It's a very, you know, like Yogi Berra quotes, where it's not,
yeah.
It doesn't quite make sense, except it makes perfect sense.
You got to consider the messenger for sure.
6.
All right, some NBA playoff.
Sounds like that. There's a Yogi Berra-ism I came up with during the Astros game on Saturday when that dude, he missed third base by tripping on third base. It was, I don't know if you were, while you were doing the broadcast at that time. He was rounding third, and it was ruled that he missed it. Bregman kind of just casually walked over and touched third base. But it sure looked to me like he tripped over third base.
Oh, really?
And he missed third base, yeah.
There would be a Yogi-ism for that. NBA playoffs yesterday. The Knicks take a 3-1 lead on the Philadelphia 76ers. Jalen Brunson was incredible in this game. They win 97-92. CJ Stroud was at this game. He was courtside at Knicks Sixers yesterday in Philadelphia.
Why is he not working out?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Come on, CJ. Don't you want it?
What's up with this?
Don't you want it, man? It was kind of cool, though, like them doing a whip around of celebrities at an NBA game, and there's your quarterback getting acknowledged.
And him being the guy that
celebrity. That was cool.
It wasn't like those days from a few years ago when, you know, we'd be like, hey, which celebrity Texan was at the game?
Right.
Roy Lopez, you know, it's a little bit different.
Not a lot of Davis Mills love going on courtside at NBA games back in the day. The Clippers tie their series with the Mavericks yesterday at 2. James Harden, 33 points. He was really good yesterday. Indiana takes a 3-1 lead over the Giannis-less Milwaukee Bucks. And Kevin Durant swept out of the playoffs, Seth. The Phoenix team that was put together to be a super team. Durant, Devin Booker, they bring in Bradley Beal this offseason. Swept out of the playoffs by the Minnesota Timbies yesterday. So, yeah, Durant, man.
How old's Durant now?
Probably 34, I would say. 34. He's drafted in 2007. He was 18.
He's
so,
always,
yeah.
He's always younger than you think,
yep,
isn't he?
Yep, man. Yep. So, swept out of the playoffs.
35.
35. There you go. Amazon reportedly has a framework in place for a deal with the NBA for a big chunk of their broadcast rights starting in 2025-2026. So the next big phase of streaming being the way you go about watching things is the NBA. And this is not like the NFL reportedly, Seth, where the NFL has a package with Amazon, but it's just Thursday night and the Black Friday game.
Yeah.
And I think Amazon has a playoff game as well. Amazon's expected to get a big chunk of these games, including maybe even conference final games with the NBA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So this is reportedly.
If you can deliver them to me by drone, I'll be super. Or if I can pick it up in a locker. Can I go pick this up in a locker at Home Depot or
by
something?
The next day.
You're going to be offering this at Whole Foods now?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So ESPN is expected to retain a big chunk of this. I think. I don't like to get too super nerdy on the broadcast things, but the reason I bring this up is that the entity that carries the NBA that this seems to be putting the most pressure on to get squeezed is TNT, which has that I think they, other than the games themselves, may have the most valuable NBA commodity with their studio show. People who aren't even basketball fans love the studio show.
Oh, yeah,
Charles Barkley and Shaq. Now, NBC is reportedly in on some of these talks. There's nothing stopping, I don't think, NBC from going and maybe reassembling that crew, possibly. But that would be the thing for me. Like, man, I hope TNT retains a little of it because I like that studio show with those guys.
So Amazon for Thursday Night Football, I think one of the biggest issues for a lot of people is that Al Michaels is the play-by-play, and he plans on returning for 2024. At least as of December 30th. I don't know if I missed anything. I feel like a lot of the stuff they do from a technical standpoint, like the picture quality and everything, I think is awesome.
Yeah.
I think some of the other stuff, like how their halftime crew or their studio show, the people are going to be split on that stuff always and forever. I really like the quality of the actual football viewing experience has been impressive to me. I feel like with basketball, they could take that even to another level because it's indoors, it's a smaller area and everything. But like I'm kind of blown away by some of the visuals sometimes on that Amazon broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm cool with it. I like the direction this stuff is going for sure. Roger Goodell, speaking of TV and speaking of schedules and whatnot, reportedly pushing, no surprise, pushing heavy for an 18-game regular season. That was one of the big stories coming out of the draft. Goodell did some media and looking for a President's Day weekend Super Bowl possibly, which I know people have been pushing for a long, long time. So you can have Super Bowl. I think they for sure want to keep Super Bowl on a Sunday, not move it to a Saturday. So you keep it on a Sunday, and then most of America has the next day off. The 18-game regular season would potentially include a couple of bye weeks in it, and he wants more international games, Seth.
You know, this I'm not going to fight it anymore. I don't know. Like, eventually, they'll be playing 36 NFL games in a season. It's honestly, Sean, it's part of the trend of what's happening where people realize, like, okay, when you break things down, like, quantity matters more than quality in a lot of things in life now. Like, people will just keep consuming stuff. So, like, hey, a 2-hour movie is great, but how about a 16-episode miniseries instead?
Yeah.
And I'm raising my hand for it. Sometimes when I watch a good movie now, I'm like, oh, I feel all empty inside because really this would be, I'd like to watch 8 of these in
That's
succession.
That's true, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So likewise with a lot of things, I think they just realize like, all right, yeah, maybe we dilute the quality of it, but people are going to keep watching. So they're just going to keep adding on and adding on.
That's the
and
funniest.
I'm not going to fight it because I'm a sucker and I'll keep consuming it
That's
all.
That's the funniest thing to me is when they're like, quarterback play has really dipped this year. This is really going to hurt the NFL. And then literally the next headline is like, ratings up 9% over last year's week 3. Like, no, people just, they like watching their sports. They like the fellowship of it. They like the live aspect of it when so much stuff is now on demand and recorded these days. There's an energy to it. All right.
They could just figure out a way to keep guys from getting injured. It would be
Boy, that's next.
hey, fix that first,
fix
Roger.
That.
Fix this frailty thing we've got going on here.
They're trying. Okay, I want to bring something up about that in the next segment, something that got approved over the weekend.
Steroids?
But C.J. Stroud, no, not yet.
Those will not keep you healthy for sure.
Not yet.
That's not even me trying to be a good dude. You will pop a biceps tendon like that.
Yeah. CJ Stroud had some excellent thoughts on that Bleacher Report broadcast on scrambling for quarterbacks. This was this was really interesting.
Some next level stuff out of CJ.
Next level stuff, and I think may make some people understand why he does some of the things he does during plays on game day. I thought this was really, really good, and we'll have it for you next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, man, the more clips leaked out from that Bleacher Report broadcast for the draft, that the alternate broadcast that Bleacher Report did with C.J. Stroud, Micah Parsons, Adam Lefko hosted it. He brought in some guests on Zoom, including Stephon Diggs along the way.
Wait, leaked out or just as they come out?
Like,
these aren't like leaks or anything. Yeah.
No, they're not top secret. I'm just saying the trickle out.
I got
over
excited
the
for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, this is a trade secret CJ's giving away. So the one of many that surfaced this weekend, and there's so much of it that we'll probably be playing a lot of it over the next several days. It's CJ Stroud. He's always relevant here. But I thought this was really interesting, especially in light of the fact that one of the critiques of CJ Stroud coming into the league was that he didn't use his legs very much.
Right.
Not that he's a bad athlete, but he didn't scramble very much.
Well, they didn't know if he didn't have a lot of examples of it. They just assumed that he just preferred to always stay in the pocket.
Yeah. So the Georgia game, and then he did some good things in the Georgia game. Here was CJ Stroud. This was an interesting comp. He compared scrambling as a quarterback to NBA offensive, so NFL defensive players defending scrambles. He compared them to offensive players in the NBA. Take a listen.
I look at scrambling like NBA players hit jump shots. Defenders get to spots. when it comes to scrambling, in my opinion. They get to their spots quicker than we can get to their spots. Just like Anthony Edwards drives down, he crosses back, he gets to his spot, he hits a shot. Mm. They get to their spot, they get their sack in a scrambling dynamic. So like for me, those guys are just as fast, just as quick, a lot stronger, and they know once they don't get home, okay, and the ball's not out, I'm getting to my spot.
Right.
And more times than not, like,
they're going to be faster to that,
you know,
spot than you are.
And usually when by that time, you're either going up and out as a quarterback or you're going completely out.
All right, you were a defender, Seth. Does that comparison hold water to you?
Yeah, yeah. So I was a little confused. You were saying, yeah, like the defensive players – anyway, okay, yes, yeah, but like as a defensive player, you've got certain landmarks that you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
And that even if you don't technically win the pass rush, you can still squeeze the pocket and, you know, at the proper depth and everything. So CJ, understanding that, knows that, you know, like some quarterbacks maybe make it more of a mystery than it needs to be. That it is really just like it's almost like there's a standard thing that's going to happen unless somebody's completely unblocked. And then that's on the quarterback, usually. Or a lot of times, it's on the quarterback for not realizing that somebody was going to be completely unblocked. That you got to learn how to manipulate that. And that, yeah, the ball's got to come out before that guy gets to his spot, or you got to be on the move. You got to be moving up in the pocket, or you got to be scrambling out the back end. I think that's what his ability to grasp that and learn it in the middle of a season is what was really impressive, because you went through phases this year with CJ where, you know, early on took a bunch of sacks. And when I say early on, I don't mean like the first 8 games of the season. We're talking about the first 2 games of the season.
11 sacks
in the first 2 games.
Yep.
Yeah.
11 sacks. Yep.
So he took a bunch, and then all of a sudden he didn't get sacked at all. You know, like he figured it out that, oh, I got to get rid of the ball. I either got to throw or scramble or do whatever, but these guys are going to get to me at a certain time. And he learned it. And then, so as he was doing that, it got really good. But then it got to the point where, you know what? His completion percentage wasn't that good, partly because it wasn't because he wasn't accurate, like some people that weren't watching would say. It was because he was throwing away the ball when he should be throwing away the ball. Then he realized, like, oh, okay, I got to find a better balance here. There's got to be a little balance of risk that I can't be getting sacked all the time, but I also can't just be dumping it away, or I need to learn how to throw to the running backs, get better at, this is what really got better, being sure, because this is a quarterback's responsibility, being sure that those receivers, when they are hot, have their heads turned and looking at me. Because
mm-hmm.
early in the season, some of those guys were just like, there's a blitz, so I'm just going to keep running my same route.
Mm-hmm.
The idiots. That's on the quarterback to get those guys right. That got right. So there are like 3 or 4 stages of his evolution that for like Deshaun Watson came along nicely in terms of becoming an actual NFL quarterback over the course of 3 seasons.
Yep.
4 seasons, really. 2020 was when he really came into his own. But like CJ did a lot of that stuff in 1 season. It was crazy.
Well, take a listen. To your point about those first 2 games, he talked about when did he really start to learn his lesson on taking hits.
Was it the first preseason game against the Patriots that taught you that, or was it?
A little bit. The real one was Baltimore and really, really Indianapolis. I played Baltimore week 1, the Colts week 2, and those were the 2 games that stuck out. And you can tell in week 3, like, I came in with a whole new mind. I was banged up. Like, I was going through it at practice. Like, my neck was hurting, my back, I had a thigh contusion, like, and I was like, man, I can't do this every week.
Yeah.
I mean, he's mirroring what you just said, basically.
When did he separate his shoulder? Was that not until fourth week?
I think it was – I can't remember. I think it was early in the season.
It might have been included in that. He couldn't keep track of it.
Yeah, he just didn't put it on the list. Yeah.
Well, and you and I, you know, there were the entire season, there were times where, man, like watching in person, watching him come to the sideline at times, like that was a welcome to the NFL type of deal. But yeah, I think, again, the willingness to throw the ball away or to understand the constraints you're in, that you have, it's something that so many quarterbacks just, they're either too stubborn or too stupid or, you know, just for whatever reason, too aggressively minded to figure it out. That's one of those things. It's not an intelligence thing at all. It's almost more of a maturity thing. And that's where CJ, like, just how freakishly mature he is in some ways. That might have been the biggest testament to his maturity, was the way he understands the constraints of playing quarterback.
This was interesting. He talked about some advice he got from Justin Herbert when they were working out before CJ's rookie season last year. Some advice he got from Justin Herbert about scrambling and running. And so if you're wondering at times when CJ throws the ball away or checks down when you're wanting him to do something else, I think this provides a pretty good window into what his mindset is.
And you know, it's funny, man. I actually trained with Justin Herbert in the weight room when I was coming out. And we were in Orange County at Proactive. And he was like, man, one piece of advice I give to you is do not run too much. He's like, get down, get rid of the ball. Like, to the world, throwing the ball away or like taking a check down looks like a negative play. But in our eyes, like, man, you saved a hit, you protected the ball, and now you give your team and you give guys like Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, Steph, Joe Mixon, you give those guys another chance to be elite.
Yeah, and that's where, like, Peyton Manning was the master of that. Like, he would just get rid of the ball. He wouldn't take contact. That's why it's so weird that he ended up with the neck injury that he did, because otherwise, like, for most of his career, he was very, very healthy because he just did not take hits. And it does. And you saw that. You saw that reflected in the completion percentage this year, too. It's a little bit, it's like investing money. Like, you got to wait for it to compound, for it to take effect. So he was like sub 60% for a while.
Yeah, he was.
But as it starts to click, and as you start to reap dividends from it, then all of a sudden the numbers start coming back up. And that, and I mean, it goes like, what did I tell you last year after he got drafted? And I'd hear him talk. I was like, this is a guy, I'm not worried about CJ and his money. Like, this is a person who understands compound interest.
Yes.
Like, this is a person, because he talks a lot about how tiny things every day really add up over time. And like with the injury prevention too, that's the same thing. It's not the one huge hit that you need to worry about. It's the accumulation of trauma time after time, week after week, to all of a sudden where your body just isn't mechanically aligned properly. And then that's when the huge, because a lot of times, like, guys that get hit a lot, people love to point out, like, well, yeah, but then he tore his ACL while he was running in space. Like, yeah, but it all adds up.
Yeah,
it all adds up. And you just got to keep putting money in the bank in that regard.
CJ understands the odometer on an NFL quarterback's body pretty well.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah. That's the first thing he said after talking about checkdowns and throwaways. The very first thing he listed, you saved a hit. Yeah. That was the first thing.
Well, it's all, yeah, like the whole, I mean, it's kind of like, you know what? Like, driving 55 miles per hour everywhere doesn't guarantee that you won't get in a car accident, but it guarantees that you won't die going 100 miles an hour,
right,
which is much more likely when you're going 100. You're playing the odds,
yep.
You know, and you got, and over time, over, I mean, these days guys are playing 20 years. Over the course of a 20-year career, taking three less hits per game is a lot
it's
of
a
hits
lot.
Avoided. You
it's,
know?
It's a lot. Yeah. Well, yeah, and you talk about the compounding. Like, with each year that you age, saving those hits means even more, you know,
yeah,
the older you get. What would it have looked like if Kayvon Thibodeau were a Houston Texan instead of Derek Stingley Jr.? Here was Thibodeau in an interview recently saying that he was hearing the Texans were going to take him back in 2022.
It's actually funny. I got two calls on draft day. I got called by the Texans like, yo, if you're there at 3, we're going to draft you. 3 came and I did not get drafted. It was okay, though. It was okay. I ended up getting drafted to the best team,
yeah,
you know, possible. But
what were they thinking in Houston?
What was I thinking in Vegas? That was the real question.
What were you thinking?
I thought I was going to Houston. And then it was, you know, time changed.
Yeah.
Nah, but it was a good time.
Do you rather have Derek Stingley Jr. or Kayvon Thibodeau, Steph?
Thibodeau's been healthier, but Stingley's got more of a guy I'd want to hang out with.
I mean,
with.
Now you got Will Anderson, so it's a bit of a loaded question. You know, it's,
what's that?
I said now you got Will Anderson, so it's a bit of a janky
right,
question.
Right, yeah. I'm curious about his version of the story. I think that one thing that happens a lot in the draft is that a team says, hey, there's a good chance we'll take you, or we really like you, or if things happen, and then we'll draft you, and all the guy hears is like, oh, yeah, you're going to take me for sure. He ended up going 2 picks later to the Giants.
Yep.
I wonder why they would have told him that. What was their thinking there?
Yeah, I have no idea, because they literally didn't take him. You know, like,
right, yeah. I don't, like, it's the fact that, like, Kayvon Thibodeau, The pre-draft smoke and what have you about him was just, there were a lot of people that wondered exactly like what was his deal. I wonder about exactly what was actually told.
I'll give you a hypothetical as a reason.
Yeah.
Is that maybe they're telling him that so that he tells his agent that, so that his agent puts it out there in the universe so that the Texans might be able to get somebody to move up to three. You know, yeah. maybe Caserio at that time, D'Amico wasn't in the building. That was a Lovie Smith draft. Maybe that's a tactic, is that you use that player and his agent as a vessel to get the word out that you're thinking of taking him, knowing full well the Giants really like him, and they're maybe trying to get the Giants to move up a couple spots to get him, right?
This is what I don't believe about it, which is that Caserio is absurdly close to the vest on all of this stuff. Like, he's not shown any evidence that he's a guy that wants to float smoke to anybody. At all. Like, he just wants to keep everything as quiet as possible.
But I think in the moment in the draft, I take that, we don't know when the Texans called him and said they're taking
right.
him. In my version of it, they're calling him like as one and two are coming off the board that we may take you at three, where it's all hectic like that, and hoping to get that out in the universe so maybe they can get somebody who really loves Kayvon Thibodeau to move up and go get him, thinking the Texans are going to take him at three. You know, we really like this guy.
I mean, the other chance, too, is that, you know, the Lions took Aiden Hutchinson. Maybe the Texans thought the Lions were going to take one of those DBs.
Yeah.
And maybe they, well, look, so, I don't know if, Caserio has yet to draft a non-Power 5 guy, except on a technicality, Tank Dell.
Right.
Like, so maybe they just, maybe he didn't like Sauce Gardner, and if Stingley had gone to the Lions, that, like, as evidenced by this draft, they could have used a cornerback, that they were going to be out on Sauce Gardner and they would have taken, I got to think there was an if in there at
yeah.
some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The same thing happened to me when I was, look, you're young, you're dumb, different teams are telling you different things. I thought that the Jaguars, I thought they told me that they were going to draft me in the second round. And I talked to my defensive line coach about it later, and he explained to me, like, exactly what he had said. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah,
gosh,
things.
I'm dumb. Yeah. And it wasn't like him like manipulating me or
no,
anything. It was
no,
just
no.
clearly me misunderstanding the way things
how you
worked.
Heard it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Three big questions for the Texans that came out of this weekend. Three big questions surrounding what didn't happen with the Houston Texans this weekend. We've got those for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A quick programming note, Texans general manager Nick Caserio will join us 7:30 on Wednesday this week. So make a note of that.
You know what we're going to do, Sean? We're going to have him grade himself.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
You hate other people's report cards. You must love
like
your
making
own.
You, just like making having your kid punish themselves. You know, well, we're going to have him, hey, Nick, what grade do you give the draft?
Yeah.
You know what he's going to answer? I guarantee. Incomplete. You just don't know yet. You're going to, come to me in 3 years. Yeah.
For sure. It's interesting because I got the text that we're ready to go with him 7:30 on Wednesday. That's leading into a segment where I still think there are some questions that people have about the Texans draft. So these are things that we can maybe bounce off Nick on on Wednesday this week when he joins us. He was actually asked about this first one because I think there were people maybe surprised, Seth, that after day two they still had not drafted a defensive tackle, right?
Yeah. So this question was, I believe DJ Bienname asked this after Friday night's draft where they had not drafted a defensive tackle in the second or third round.
Yeah, we'll see. There's some opportunities there. There's a number of players that we liked, and you know, we didn't have the opportunity to add them to our team. I think we're excited about the players that we've added. So, I mean, we've signed some players in free agency. We signed Foley. We signed Tim Settle. You know, we signed Danico. We have some players that have some flexibility there in the front. So, I mean, like we talked about last week or whenever it was, if we had to go out there and play football, you know, we'd be able to put a team out there regardless of whoever we drafted here. So nothing's really changed. So there will be opportunities, I'm sure, between now and September to add wherever we feel necessary. So if we feel there's an opportunity and we feel there's a spot that we need to add somebody, there's going to be players available. So we'll try to make good decisions, and if there's a situation that makes sense, we'll certainly pursue it.
We'll get to the position in a second. He was very clear about that yesterday, though, or I'm sorry, Saturday in his press conference, Seth, is that he didn't say not his exact words, but you know, they're at 90. You know, they signed a few undrafted guys, so they're at 90 now. But he was pretty clear, like, you know, don't get too attached to some of these guys. Like
some of these guys have lost their job already.
Yeah, there could be a lot of churn coming, like even, you know, before OTAs, that kind of thing. You know,
so yeah, the one fun thing about Nick, as long as he's the general manager of the Texans, is that there will be activity. there's always trades. There are always I don't want to say we've gotten spoiled by it, because not like everybody wants trades and activity all the time, but it does get kind of weird in the first couple of rounds there when there's no trading going on and you're just standing pat. Diana Russini had the report on Thursday night that Caserio was trying to trade up into the first round, and then Nick basically confirmed it in the press conference on Friday night. I think where your mind goes, this is pure speculation by me, but it all kinds of seems to add up. Look, we go into this draft thinking, man, it makes a lot of sense for the Texans to draft defensive backs and defensive tackles. He's asked specifically about defensive tackles on Friday night, and he says the opportunity just wasn't there. Well, it feels a whole lot like the four guys who were drafted ahead of the Texans that evening. At least one of those guys was probably on the Texans' radar or on their wish list.
You think,
and that they maybe were trying to trade up to get him.
Yep.
Or either maybe Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry. These are defensive backs. Two teams hopped ahead of the Texans to draft those guys. I don't know if the Texans liked either of those guys better than Kamari Lassiter, but it's certainly possible. But I think the defensive tackles specifically, they probably liked Ruka Roro, Johnny Newton, or Braden Fisk. I'd be surprised if it was T'Vondre Sweat just because of the scheme fit. But three of those guys, one of those guys I'm sure they liked.
So that's question number one, about defensive tackle. And they ended up drafting a defensive tackle on day three, Marcus Harris, who's a very productive player at Auburn. He was all SEC.
I like him a lot.
I do too.
His size works against them at times, really to an extreme degree, but then there's other times where he's awesome. So I'll be pulling for him. He plays his butt off, and he really, he's undersized, but he's really strong and has an ability to get into the backfield, so he's just got to hopefully learn a few things technique-wise.
Let's get to a couple other questions. This one, no audio with this one. This is just one that saw a lot of people after the draft, Seth. Texans didn't draft any wide receivers with any of their 9 picks. You know, the only passing game skill player weapon they really drafted was Cade Stover. They drafted Jawar Jordan, the running back, in the 6th round. But as far as, traditional pass catchers go, Cade Stover in the 4th round. But no wide receivers. And so even Ocho was texting in this morning. He had all these wide receivers. You didn't draft a single one. This is malpractice. My first response to those people is you kind of did draft a wide receiver. His name is Stephon Diggs. You traded back 19 spots to get a second-round pick you used on Diggs. But this is something you and I talked about last week. They didn't draft a wide receiver, so are we maybe buying C.J. Stroud's scouting report on John Mechie right now and how he looks that they didn't draft any wide receivers?
I think with wide receiver that it's not a huge priority right here and now necessarily, and that it wasn't. Maybe they were trying to trade up to get Ladd McConkey or Keon Coleman or something in the second round there. But I just wasn't overly concerned or worked up about it. I think now that we have three really good wide receivers, I feel like now people are treating it like it's your birthright to always have three awesome wide receivers, when usually the team that wins the Super Bowl has two really good receivers at best. You know, yeah. It's just not, it's the exception, not the rule, that good teams have three really exciting wide receivers. So I'm not overly stressed about it. It would have been nice, but if they were going to be aggressive in going after something, I wanted it to be either a defensive tackle or a defensive back.
I can get with that for sure. Third thing, as you mentioned, reportedly Nick was trying to trade up into the back end of the first round to get somebody. We can speculate as to who that was, and I can 100% assure you, if we were to ask him Wednesday, he would not tell us who it was, because that player is on another team now. But we can speculate based on the types of guys they've drafted, particularly since D'Amico got to the building, I think, especially. But Nick's been fond of Alabama guys for a while now. This Terrion Arnold story that Kyle Brandt brings up in an interview with Terrion Arnold, this is before the draft.
Yeah.
Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama, who I think is two thumbs up on Payne and Pendergast. From what we know, we love this kid. This is a great story that Kyle Brandt gets out of him about his high school janitor named Mr. Biggs. Was his high school janitor.
Mr. Biggs, I've been working with him since I first got to my school at John Paul. I got there in 11th grade, and just the opportunity to work with him, I valued it every day. The life lessons that he taught me, from fixing those screws, or standing up on the ladder when my football coach walked in and almost killed him for doing that before a football game. He's a great man. He always says, like, his favorite phrase is, "You treat me better than I deserve to be treated." Mm-hmm. And I always tell him, like, "Man, you treat me better than I deserve to be treated." Like, it's an honor just for me to be able to talk about you on your behalf, or me to sit up here and just give you the praise that you deserve, because you're a janitor. Like, I think people, they don't value things like that, but when you go in there and you watch somebody have to get on his hands and knees, clean the toilet, clean up stains, yeah. I mean, it makes you appreciate life. And when he does it with a smile on his face. Like, sometimes, you know, you'll see people litter. You'll be like, "Oh, okay." But you don't think nothing of it, because somebody has to come and pick it up. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing in the school. Like, it just allowed me to appreciate what people do. Like, I'll never forget, it was one story. I don't know where it happened at, but I'll never forget when the garbage people, they went on strike.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because they wanted a raise.
Sure.
I mean, you don't think about that, your trash getting picked up every Monday until it don't get picked up, and it just continue to pile up. So it's the same thing with him. And people like that in the world, obviously they value us as athletes. We're entertainers. People could say, "Oh, man, you're this, you're that." But it's those people like that that deserve to be uplifted and valued too.
He's basically cornerback Will Anderson. That's who he is.
Well, yeah, and on the broadcast on Thursday night, on the ABC broadcast, Nick Saban was talking about Terrion Arnold and talking about how his wife's favorite player on the team is Terrion Arnold. I was saying Miss Terry loves Terrion Arnold, but it gets too confusing. And that he sits right next to Nick Saban in meetings. But Saban said it with kind of like almost like a smirk on his face, but like, Terrion Arnold's got a lot of personality and he's probably entertaining to Saban sitting next to him. It sounded exactly like Will Anderson, who sounds exactly like D'Amico Ryans. Like, and it, between the Alabama lineage and the defensive player side of the ball and all of that, I thought, man, if the Texans are trying to trade up into the first round, that's probably who they're trying to go for, especially because, you know, obviously they can use a defensive back. So that would have been cool. But he also, was that part of the same story, Sean, is the one where he gave his jersey to Mr. Biggs?
Yeah, well, the video was playing in the background. So the video of what you're talking about was playing in the background while he was telling that story. But yeah, that's what that was. No Alabama guys in this draft class, huh? I'm thinking
The Texans draft class.
Texans draft. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Texans draft class. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the first time in a few years that's happened. Usually they take two. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
That's why maybe the part of that's why I was convinced it was Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good hypothesis.
It's not a slam dunk that they have to take an Alabama guy, but my goodness.
Seems logical. All right.
Oh, you know what, though? That is one thing to feel good about with with Lassiter. I'll tell you next.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. Yes, we'll get to know the rookies, including Kamari Lassiter. And does Nick Caserio have a favorite of all these guys? I think he might. We'll get to that coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.